My name is Carolyn Poole, and I belong to the New Beginnings organization of ex-Christian Scientists Born Again. But to tell my story, I'm going to go clear back to my grandparents and how I became a Christian Scientist. My grandparents were joining the Christian Science Church just before my granddad died with TB. And my mother, who was a teenager in high school, took up the study of Christian Science. And by the time that I came along, she was deep into it. And she had a Christian Science practitioner praying for her at the time of my birth. And when my mother walked down the corridor of this small sanitarium in Graham, Texas, where I was born, Mother saw at the end of the hall the words, "God is life." And of course, they weren't really there. This was a supernatural experience she was having. And she had a painless childbirth, which greatly impressed the doctor and the nurses. Well, the practitioner afterwards told my mother that I would be a very special person with the Lord because of the way I started. And I really believe that that was a prophecy. Of course, Christian Science doesn't go in for prophecy as such, but I believe it was a prophecy because I think that I have been, not because I've done anything great in life, but because of the miracle that the Lord later did in my life in bringing me out of Christian Science. Because that is one of the hardest religions for anyone to come out of. In fact, it's very, very rare for anyone to leave Christian Science and accept Jesus Christ. It is so rare. I'm jumping my story here. I realize that I'm going to bring the end in at the beginning. But it is so rare that when I left it, and I was past 50, don't want to give ages here, but I had never heard of a Christian Scientist leaving it and accepting Jesus Christ. All the others that I had met who had left Christian Science had gone into either Unity or Religious Science, or in most cases, they just weren't anything. They were just disinterested. Well, getting back to this beginning that I was telling you about, I went to the Christian Science Sunday School as a child, and it's the only Sunday school I went to, and I grew up in it. And I always, I wasn't what you call a good student because I was just a normal little kid, like get out and play and do what all the other kids do. But it was kind of like I had a secret because, see, I believed the teachings, I was steeped in them. And my Sunday school teacher, who happened also to be a close friend of our family, her name was Mrs. Carter, and she was a dear, sweet woman. She confided in my mother that I was one of her best students, and because she thought I had such a good understanding of it. And I believed that all is mine. You see, according to the teachings of Christian Science, this world we live in, matter, we live in this matter world, is just a belief. It's here because we believe it's here. And the reality of all is that God is all in all, and He's spirit, and that He's good. And nothing but good exists. And anything that's evil or matter is just a false belief. And it really, according to Mary Baker Eddy, who is the founder and leader of Christian Science, it goes back to first Genesis. In the first chapter of Genesis, God created the world, and He saw what He had made, and it was good. And man was made in His image and likeness. And of course, God is good, and man is good because he reflects God. And then the second chapter of Genesis is when Adam was put in a deep sleep. A mist came over the earth, and that's the Adam dream. It's the lie. It's the unreality. It's the beginning of this false belief that we are all in, that matter is real, because matter is not real. Only spirit is real. And death is just an illusion, and we will go on experiencing this belief of death as long as we have any belief in matter. And so when we leave this earth, when we do what other people call dying, Christian Science, they call it passing on. Well, when we pass on, all that's happening is that we're going to go on living like we always have and we will continue experiencing the belief of death until we overcome a belief of matter, because that's all that really dies, is just our belief. It's unreal. Well, of course, I believed all this, and believe it or not, it works, the healings. See, I didn't go to a doctor, and we didn't take medicine, and that happened. That was in a depression day, so I don't think we could have afforded a doctor anyway. But we still didn't go to the doctors. And so, well, then after I was grown and I married a man who was not a Christian Scientist, But that didn't bother me because I knew that we had the truth and that he someday would find the truth too, if not in this world, at least the next world. And he let me believe what I wanted to believe. Well, after the children were born, my husband became antagonistic towards Christian Science, and we started living a social life. And of course, in Christian Science, you're not allowed to drink or smoke. They have very high morals, and you're not allowed to go to the doctors to take medicine either. And we were living a social life, and we would go to belong to organizations and drink and all the things that the world likes to do. And I'm not a hypocrite. I never have been, and I don't approve of going against my religion, so I drifted off from it. I had joined the church, and now I withdrew my membership because I wanted to be honest about it. And my husband was happy because he didn't like Christian Science anyway. And he had said if we'd find a religion that was more his liking, he would join it. But I don't think he really meant it, because we did look around. But I realize now that we looked around at all the wrong ones. We went to churches where they didn't preach the gospel. We went to like the religious science, and a Unitarian, and sometimes a community church. And I didn't get anything out of any of them. They didn't have any meat to them. Well, I'm going to speed this up and let some years get by here. Later, my husband did the thing that was the last thing in the world I wanted to do, because I hated small towns and I hated the desert. I was a big city girl who loved living by the ocean. And where did my husband go in business? But in Mojave, a little town up in the desert of 3,000 people, if you look under all the rocks to count the people. And I stayed down in Long Beach, where we'd been living, to finish getting my college degree. And as soon as I graduated, after he'd been out there 2.5 years, I went up there because I didn't want to get a divorce. We had 2 children, but I went up there reluctantly and hating it. And the first year up there, I nearly died. The wind blew and howled, and the people didn't like the big city girl, and the big city girl didn't like the little people in the town. And I had several years like this. We moved from Mojave over to Lancaster, a little larger town, and I was relieved a little bit of my miseries. And of course, at this time, I really didn't have any religion. I mean, we visit churches, and I still believed in God. As a Christian Scientist, I always believed in God, always loved God. So after we'd been going like this for about 7 years, things got worse in our family. We moved back and forth different places. I ended back in Mojave. Our business was bad, and by now we had 2 teenage daughters, and they really were not doing well in life. One of them was wearing her hair too short and kind of like just sort of lost control over her, and the other one, all she wanted to do was sit in front of the TV and was putting on weight. And I just felt like life was a drag. Nothing was going right. And the oldest girl, the one that I was having little problems with, she even took a bottle of pills one night, and we had to rush her to the hospital to get her stomach pumped. And during this period, each day I just thought I couldn't go on because there wasn't anything worth living for. And I was in a trap, and I just thought, oh, I wish I could take some pills and get out of this mess, but I wouldn't do that to my family. I knew it would just crush them. And the only way I could get out of bed each morning was to count to 10. I'd say, now when I get to the count 10, I'm going to make myself get out of bed. So that's the way I got through that period. Well, one day I was talking with a man that we knew. He worked with my husband, who was a Christian Scientist, and he knew that I had been raised in Christian Science. And I was telling him how miserable I was, and he said, just a little simple thing. He said, well, what you really need to do is to work on the thought of home. Well, that was a Christian Science way of speaking. That was saying, go back to Christian Science and know the truth about what your right home is. And the way you do it, of course, is through Christian Science. And so I was ready now to go back into Christian Science. So I started getting my lesson every day. That takes about 30 minutes a day to read the daily lesson that all the Christian Scientists all over the world study the same lesson. And I started taking all the periodicals, and as time went on, I dropped my worldly ways. I finally quit smoking, then later I quit drinking, and then finally I had been going to doctors and taking medicine. I finally quit that. I quit taking any kind of medicine. I wouldn't even take a vitamin pill. To me, that was taking medicine. It was slavery to a belief, a pill. And At this point, I still wasn't a member of the church because I wasn't interested in church. I just would do all my praying and studying by myself. Well, after we'd been on the desert for a few more years, I still got fed up with the desert. And one day, we just bought a big, beautiful, expensive, brand new home. And yet, I was so miserable underneath it. One day, when my husband came home, I said, I know it's going to shock you, but can we move back to Long Beach? And he was ready. So we sold that house at a $5,000 cash loss just to make a psychological break because we had to make a change. And he continued to work in Mojave, and I moved to Long Beach, and he'd come down on the weekends. Well, this was a very contented period, and it was right at this period, and I was living down by the beach, that I got this great desire in me to read the Bible all the way through. Now, of course, you understand Christian Science is based on the Bible. We know it is because Mary Baker Eddy said it is. When she founded Christian Science, she stated the Bible, nothing but the Bible. And in Christian Science, you have two pastors, the Science and Health and the Bible. So there was nothing wrong in studying the Bible. And I, as a college graduate, I thought, well, this is a shame that the greatest book, because I knew as far as the world was concerned that the Bible was considered the greatest book that had ever been printed, a bestseller, that I had never read it. So I started off with Genesis in the King James Version, reading it by myself each day, and I got through about the first four books, and then I just faltered. It was too hard. I didn't have any Bible helps or anyone to talk with about it. And right at this time, in 1969, one day I read in the paper that the famous Billy Graham was going to be at the Anaheim Stadium for a crusade. Now, of course, everyone's heard of Billy Graham, including all the Christian Scientists. And we had great respect for this man because we know that he's done great things in the Crusades and has such a beautiful anointing of the Lord, even if he doesn't have the truth. I mean, that's all right. We had the truth. He didn't have the truth. But you see, he would get the truth later. There was no rush on it. Well, out of curiosity, I decided to go hear him because I thought some year I'd be a grandmother, and I wanted to be able to have a pride, personal pride, to be able to say, oh, yes, Grandma saw Billy Graham. So I went by myself because I didn't have anyone who was interested. I did ask my daughter, who was in college, so I asked her to go with me, and she had too much homework and couldn't go, so I went by myself. And I don't know what he said that night. I don't remember one thing, but whatever it was, at the end of his sermon, people stood up, a lot of people did, and they walked down below to the field where he had his platform. And I got up and walked down there. I don't know why I did it. I don't know what he said. Later in life, I found out they have something that in the Christian world is called altar call. And that would have been an altar call, but I had never heard the term altar call. I do remember standing down there looking up at him and noticing that he had a lot of pancake makeup on for the television crews. And I was feeling very embarrassed standing there, and I was thinking, oh, I hope there's nobody up there seeing me down here. I don't want anyone to think I'm a nut. I didn't want anybody to see me. So then he prayed for us, and somebody took my name and address. Then I went up and sat back down. Well, after I sat down, and mind you, I'm sitting all alone there. I mean, there were people around me, but I didn't know any of them. Something happened to me that's never happened before and never happened since. Evil presence came to me. I couldn't see it, but I felt it. Just as strong as you can feel anything. It was right there beside me, and it talked to me inside of me. It gave me a message. It said, before the night is over, a disaster is going to come on you, and you're going to be dead. I thought I would panic. I thought, oh, what's wrong? What have I done? What's caused this? And I started praying. And I said the Lord's Prayer, the 91st Psalm, the 23rd Psalm. Those were some of my favorites. And I said, I know what's wrong. It's because I'm here at Billy Graham's. I am a loyal Christian Scientist. I've got the truth. And I've come here. I've been disloyal. I said, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me for being here. And so I vowed never to go hear Billy Graham again because, you see, it was really his fault. And when I got home and I saw my daughter was in college, I told her, I said, I'm so glad you didn't go because there's something wrong with Billy Graham. And I proceeded to put that whole experience out of my mind. In fact, I really forgot it. It wasn't until a few years later that I remembered the thing, what happened to me. Well, we moved back from Long Beach to the desert. I didn't want to, but my husband had invested in a golf course. Now, a golf course out in the middle of the desert can be a difficult situation. And so I had to go back up there and help him. The first year it was open. I ran the pro shop, and I had never been in a pro shop in my life. I don't play golf. So I had to learn everything fast. I had to learn how to run the cash register and try to learn the language of the golf people, and while he worked on the outside. And we were losing all of our money. We were just really slipping into bankruptcy over it. It was a very difficult situation, and I was very bitter. I really felt sorry for myself because I hated the desert. I hated that little town, and there I was back there stuck and losing everything. And my one big hope was that we would hurry up and go broke fast, because I wanted to get down to the beach and be, if I was going to be broke, I'd want to at least live in a nice place. I'd be a beachcomber. I had those visions. Well, the only way I could go to work each morning, because I was working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week for a while there, was to pray myself out there. And I had a Christian Science practitioner pray for us. And then I got another Christian Science practitioner. You're only allowed to have one at a time. Well, by the time I got around to the third Christian Science practitioner, she said, "You've got to join the church." See, I didn't want to join. I just wanted to do my own little praying, knowing the truth and reading the lesson all by myself. I didn't want to get involved with the others. But I knew that my life was just going to pieces. And I said, "Well, God, I'm ready to serve you. I'll dedicate my life to you." And of course, the only way I could do it was through Christian Science, because that's religion had the truth. So I joined the Mother Church, and I joined the branch church, and then I applied for what they call class instruction. A year and a half later, I took class instruction. I got on all of the committees, and I became very happy and very active, and our business started picking up. And where we were losing everything, many things happened. It would take too long to tell here, but things started improving. Well, then in 1975, I got this urge again on the Bible that I had some years before, because I thought, you know, really should know this Bible. It's stupid not to read the Bible through. So once again, I was trying to read it through, and I couldn't understand. I couldn't understand Paul at all, and I didn't even like Paul, because he didn't like women, and I didn't like what he had to say about women. But I was still working on it. And I got to thinking, this Bible really takes a scholar to understand, a Bible scholar. So what I should do is get into a Bible study with a group of people, and we'd have a little class and meet at homes. Now, I want you to know at this point, I had never been invited to a Bible study in my life. I didn't even know where anywhere in this whole world there was a Bible study going on. And yet, I was trying to form one. I was president of the executive board at this time of church. So I proposed this to the membership, and they said yes, they went along with it, that we'd do it, but then we didn't get around to it. So one day when I'm home reading my lesson in Christian Science, my doorbell rings, and I go to the door, and here's two well-dressed, smiling, charming women. And they said, one of them said, "Good afternoon, we're with Christian Women's Club, and we live in your neighborhood. We're starting a Bible study, and we'd like for you to come to it." And I was flabbergasted. You know, I was trying to start one and trying to learn the Bible. And I said, "Well, I'm studying the Bible myself, but," I said, "I don't know. I'm a Christian Scientist." "Oh, that's all right," they said. "We're non-denominational." "Well, that's, we don't care. You just come on. That doesn't make any difference." Well, I told them I'd come, but I worried about it. Well, I decided I'd better check them out. I asked everyone I knew about Christian Women's Club, and nobody had ever heard of them. So then the next thing I did, I thought, well, I'll pray about it. So each time before I left the house at the front door, I talked to God about it. I said, "God, if this is going to hurt Christian Science, don't let me go. Don't let me out this front door." Well, God let me out the front door. He let me go. That first Bible studies I went to, I didn't learn anything new, strangely enough. Nothing really sounded different. The only thing was different was that the women were the sweetest and the nicest I'd ever met. I thoroughly enjoyed them. I felt a sense of love there. So in the fall, when they started another Bible study and invited me, I went back just to be with them, but not to learn anything different, because I still felt that Christian Science was the truth. Well, after I'd been going a couple of months in the fall, I had a dream one night. I never had anything like that before, but I dreamed I was standing on the landing of a staircase, and there were other people standing up and down the staircase, and there wasn't any noise being made. We were waiting for Jesus. He was going to come by right that spot. And the feeling I had was such love of him. Now, you see, in Christian Science, we don't consider Jesus anything but just a perfect man. And, excuse me.